Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hard to believe that we've been celebrating, celebrating as a Christian church almost 2,000 years of Jesus being born for us. It's hard to believe, but here we are, Christmas Day 2017. It's my honor to be here with you as we worship our Lord in this special service. This service, we're going to take a look at how the Word became flesh, sure enough, and how God revealed His salvation to us in that little baby born that first Christmas day. Today we're also going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. It's not in your bulletins, but we will celebrate it after the offering. So if you are a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, we ask that you prepare your mind and your hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord. If you are not a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, we ask that you refrain from taking the Lord's Supper. And if you would like to commune with us in the future, we'd love to tell you how that can happen after the service. So please see one of the pastors, one of the ushers. They can direct you as well. Well, without further ado, let us begin our worship with our opening hymn, Joy to the World. Please note the instructions there. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Stanza 3 will be sung by the choir. And for the fourth and final stanza, we'll all stand up. May God bless your worship this Christmas day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord with Psalm 96. You may be seated for the psalm. Please note we will sing responsively this psalm with the choir. From Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. The word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I used to do this thing when Heather and I were dating, where if she ever doubted me, I would lift up my sleeve and just point to this, give her a look of, don't you fear. I was supposed to reassure her with these toothpicks I've got here. But here I am this morning, I confess. Finally, I confess I have no power to back up that flex. I'm all talk. But don't you look at me like I'm the only one. We all fail to have the power to back up our talk. A lot of times we are all talk spiritually. You and I can do all of these nice and good things, and we kind of get this feeling like, yeah, I'm really good. And then we remember, oh, wait, this is what I'm supposed to do in the first place. We can also be all talk when we feel like, yeah, we're strong Christians, but then time and again we give in to those sins and give in to those emotions, give in to those desires, give in to temptations. We can pretend to be all talk and kind of put up this facade like, oh yeah, we're just fine, but really inside, we're falling apart. We just don't want anybody to see it. You and I have lots of moments when we're all talk, when we can't back up the flex. Yet as Christians, thankfully, we know that God was not all talk. When God talked, oh, he backed it up with that flex. The flood, the Exodus with all of those plagues, even those messages from his prophets and those prophecies they would give, that was God flexing his power. One of those prophets was Isaiah, and he gives us our first reading today. And here in Isaiah, Isaiah tells us about God's most powerful flex, where he says, "The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God." All the ends of the earth, whoever saw, whoever heard about, whoever experienced God's salvation, were experiencing his power, his most wonderful power. And it's kind of amazing that for all to see right there was his most powerful flex wrapped in cloths, sleeping where stinky mouths of dirty animals eat their food. That baby was a miracle, his most powerful flex. Born of a virgin, fully God, yet fully man. And the things that that baby would eventually do, wow, talk about backing up all the talk. Jesus flexed his massive biceps, so to speak, lots of times. Healing people, commanding the wind and the waves. Even demons bowed down to that powerful, massive bicep of his, so to speak. And yet Jesus' most powerful flex of all was actually when he gave himself up on that cross. When he took the punishment for each of the sins where we say that we're all talk, but we can't back it up, he took the punishment of hell upon himself for that. Now that takes a powerful love. And that was for us. And then, out of his powerful love for us, he raises himself from the dead. He's dead, and yet he has the power to raise himself up, and he does it for us so that we can see, and so that it's proven that every time that we were all talk and we couldn't back it up was forgiven. Yeah, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations. He certainly did. From the moment that breath first entered that baby that Christmas morning, all the way until breath re-entered those same lungs Easter morning, Jesus showed God's salvation. He showed his most powerful flex. Now thanks be to God that he gives us the spiritual eyes to see that powerful love. We continue with our next hymn, number 56, "Gentle Mary Laid Her Child."
Mary,
Second reading for this Christmas morning comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? Or again, "I will be His Father, and He will be my Son"? And again, when God brings His firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship Him." And speaking of the angels, He says, "He makes His angels winds, His servants flames of fire." But about the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." The word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, my mom would always tell me never to use the word hate. She said, "Don't ever say I hate you to anybody. Don't ever say I hate this or I hate that. Hate is a strong word." Even Jesus says that if you hate others, you're actually murdering them in your hearts. Hate is a strong word because hate is a strong emotion. And yet, did you know that God uses the word hate a lot in the Bible? He says, "I hate sin." He hates robbery. He hates idolatry. He hates it when people plot evil. He just plain hates evil. And He tells us to do the same. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13. The righteous hate what is false. Proverbs 13:5. And yet sometimes it seems that you and I don't really hate like we should. Sure, it's easy to hate the big stuff, the big evil things like murder and grand theft and adultery and those types of sins. But what about the little evil things like selfishness, anger, lust, gossip, coveting? Sadly, sometimes it doesn't seem like we hate those things at all. We're actually pretty cordial with them. Gets really scary when you find out what God says about those who do those things. Again, He uses that strong word. In Psalm 5:5, it says, "He hates all who do wrong." In Proverbs 6:19, it says, "The Lord hates a false witness who pours out lies and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." In Hosea, God's talking about Israelites who are worshiping other gods. He says, "Because of all their wickedness, I hated them." Sometimes you hear the phrase, "God hates the sin but loves the sinner." Well, God's actually pretty clear in Scripture that He hates sin and He hates the sinner. So how does that make sense? We just got done talking about God's powerful love. And now we're saying that He hates it, hates those who do wrong, and we're included in that? How do you reconcile those two things? Does that mean that God doesn't actually love us? No. In fact, if you understand how much God hates sin and hates sinners, you actually realize how much He loves you. He sent His Son to this earth so that He would hate sin on your behalf. Jesus hated sin. Every time the devil tried to tempt Him into a sin, Jesus despised it. Anger, lust, gossip, coveting, selfishness, all of it. He hated it. You name a sin, Jesus hated it on your behalf. It says, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Yeah, he was certainly above us. And thanks be to God, he was. Because he was perfect as he perfectly hated sin. And so God, that perfect sacrifice prepared from that manger, engineered and eventually leveled all of his hatred against sin and sinners against Jesus, so that he could show us that powerful love. How do you reconcile God hating sinners and loving sinners? It's right there at the cross. That's how you know how much God loves you. He sent his Son for you. And now, after he provided purification for those sins, this is what happens. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Back to that power, that right hand, that power hand. Jesus ascended and now powerfully guides everything in your life for you, including helping you hate sin like you should. Now anger pops up. Ah, anger, I hate the way you make me feel about others. Go away. Selfishness, get out of here. I despise the way that you make me think it's all about me when it really isn't. Lust, get out of here. Nuh-uh. I hate the way you tear apart marriages. Selfishness, hatred, lust, all of it. I hate it. And we're able to hate it because of Christ. Thanks be to God that you and I now see how much God loves us by helping us hate sin. All because Jesus started hating sin from the moment his mom held him in her arms. We join together in our next hymn, number 55, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
Is it working?
All right.
My mic got a Christmas present, some new batteries. The third lesson, the gospel lesson for this morning, comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, the gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there have been a lot of great artistic creations in the history of this world. Mona Lisa, Statue of David, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Now, I don't know much about art. I think every art teacher I've ever had would agree with that. I'm no artist. But I know for certain one thing about art. If a piece of art gets ruined, the art to fix it. Can you imagine that if Leonardo's sitting there, just finished up the Mona Lisa, and his assistant bumps him, and he smears all over the painting? He doesn't say, oh, well, guess I'm going to have to turn myself into paint and go fix this mess. Statue of David just gets completed, and it falls down and breaks to pieces. Michelangelo doesn't go, well, I'm going to turn to stone and put this back together. Beethoven hears a wrong note in his final composition. Oh, I'm not going to make myself the right note to put things back into tune. It just doesn't happen. And yet that's exactly what God did. God created this beautiful, perfect world. And Adam and Eve snuffed out the light of God's creation. All there was darkness. The world was smeared, broken, out of tune. It's a darkness you and I know well. We just talked about how sometimes we embrace it. And even after we embrace it and then we learn to hate sin, we still fall into it time and again to the point where it might drive us to depression, disgrace. You and I know what it's like to feel smeared, broken, out of tune, in need of light. You and I can feel like sometimes we need to be fixed. Sometimes it feels like God's light isn't with us at all. But thankfully, it doesn't matter how you feel. The light of God's love and His glory is with you. It just is. And the reason you know that is because God Himself gives you and continues to give you, gave you in the past, continues to give you that light. He did it in the past. He gave little bursts of His light after Adam and Eve with promises here. We talked about miracles already. We have the hearts of believers showing that light. And yet, in order to fix the world, He needed to do more than just give bursts of light. He needed to do more than just have Moses' face shine. He needed to do more than just have the light of his glory in that temple in the Old Testament. He needed to become a part of his creation. So he did. There he was, the great I Am, the Lord, the creator of all things, the Alpha and the Omega, a few cells in a virgin's womb, because that's how human beings came to exist. His mom, Mary, had to go into labor and eventually give birth to him, because that's how human beings are born. Eventually, he had to grow from a little baby all the way up until a man, because that's what human beings do. And thankfully, eventually, he even had to die like human beings do, because that's the punishment put upon sin. And he needed to end it forever. He paid the punishment for every one of those sins. He had to be fully a part of this world in order to fix it. And so he did. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's that love, that grace, that compelled him to become part of his creation along with us. Now you and I know that powerful love. We're able to hate sin, and we're able to see all of it in that Christ child. May God bless you as you celebrate that today and always. Amen. We continue with our next hymn, hymn number 67, What Child Is This?
Thank you.
offerings to the Lord. We continue with the Lord's Supper. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Jesus Christ, given into death on the cross for your sins. may this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith of life everlasting. Go and live in peace and joy. You are at peace with God.
The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith of the life everlasting. Go in peace.
Given into death on the cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Now may this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith of life everlasting. Go and live in peace and joy. You are at peace with God.
The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith and the life of the last man. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Take and drink this is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now may this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. Go and live in peace and joy. You are at peace with God.
Thank you.
We continue with the prayer of the church. We pray, our dear Lord Jesus, we are in awe yet again this Christmas at the love you showed by becoming a human being for our sake. Hear our prayer this morning as we ask you to show that love to all who need you, whether it's your healing, your gracious power, your forgiveness, or your calming presence. Bless us with joy today and always as we share your great love and your great acts of mercy with others, that they may know what makes this day so great year after year. We pray this in your great name, in which we also pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We close with Away in a Manger, hymn number 68. Good morning again. Merry Christmas again. Let's say it one more time. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right, we get it once a year, right? Christmas Day. Isn't that such a neat picture? How great is God? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he gave his son, and we had a lot of fun praising him this morning. So thank you so much for coming this morning, and it was an honor to share God's love with you, his powerful love with you. May God continue to share that powerful love with you today and always, and may you be in his care until he takes you to be with heaven, as that last song says. Please stick around, greet one another. Merry Christmas, everybody.